get our acolyte. Please quiet your mind and prepare your hearts for worship. Our praise song this morning is Glorify Thy Name. Please stand if able. It's on 2016 in the little book and on the screen. To our radio audience, welcome to Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is go make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Jackie Teets will be giving us the morning message and special music today. I am Bev Shoemaker, worship leader for this morning. Our acolyte was Bert, and our pianist is Melissa Ogden. We will continue with the call to worship. Great is our God and greatly to be praised. When we recall the wonders of God's creation, Lord, you have brought us up from fear to hope. Let us please be in a position of prayer. Lord, we want to follow you wherever you lead. Reach out to us this day, stirring our souls and spirits with the winds of your power, that we may faithfully be your disciples. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And our opening hymn today is Stand Up for Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Melissa. We are going to do our children's moment now. If any children would like to come up and do that for us, and if any of you would like to be in a children's mindset, come on, some of you I know you can be. Children's mindset. Yes, Bobby.
Us again. Good morning. The question of the week all week has been, will there be any kids in church? And I thought the Murphy kids will be in church. You didn't disappoint me. How you doing? Are you warm enough? Yeah. How's your day going?
Good.
I want to talk to you about something this week. I didn't bring you any cookies. I thought about it. But I thought, well, let's talk about stuff that might feed the soul. How about that? You know what that means, to feed the soul?
Yeah.
What's that mean?
It means not food or just like out of their knowledge, just given to you knowledge, but knowledge you not just acquire on your own, but like also it's there. Also has that meaning.
Good answer. Spiritually, inwardly, something like that. Not something that you put in your mouth, not something that you feed yourself that way, just nourish your body. So I want to talk about what are some ways you think that you could think outside the box to make somebody else's day better. Do you have any ideas on what you might be able to do?
First of all, if somebody's sad, don't just go up to them and be like, oh, that's too bad. Say, how can I make you feel better?
Ah, did you hear that one? If you see somebody sad, you don't just go up there and just go say anything to them like that and make them feel worse. You say, what can I do to make you feel better? You lend a helping hand. Do you have any idea what you might do to step out of the box?
If someone is poor and on the street, don't ignore them. Give them food. Give them water, because they cannot afford it.
Super. Where do these kids get these ideas? It's really good. I was thinking about stepping out of the box, and I know someone back here this morning told us many times that she's stepping out of the box today to do something that she's not ever done before. And you know what? I know a man. I think he's kind of stepped out of the box last Sunday. Do you know who I'm talking about? He came up here, and he gave us a really good message. And it takes a lot of courage to come up and do something that you're not used to doing it, something that you're not comfortable doing. But you know what happens once you do it? You get better at it. And the second time is always a little bit easier. And sometimes you get comfortable doing that, and it makes you want to do more. Because we've all heard, it's not what, we all heard about giving, or we all like to get stuff, right? We like to get presents, we like it when other people make us feel good, but it's better when we make
yourself feel good.
Yeah, make ourselves and make others feel good, because we do for others. So I guess that's kind of the mini message for today, is to step out of the box, do what you can do, and make somebody's life a little bit better. So I'm going to challenge you this morning. I'm going to do it too. When we go back to our seats this morning, we're going to go up to somebody that we haven't talked to yet. You find somebody in the congregation here that you haven't talked to yet and say to them, I'm really glad you came to church today. Can we do that?
Easily.
Can we do that? I'm going to do that too, okay? All right, so Lord, thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for the gift of these kids who are so faithful and so regular. And thank you for what we can learn from them as they share their thoughts and their ideas with us as we come to gather here this morning. And we ask your blessing on us this week, and be with us and guide us as we go out and do what you have called us to do, and to be there with us when we do step outside the box. Amen.
Thanks.
Thank you. Very good. Our Old Testament reading today is 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, and verses 6 through 14, Elijah taken up to heaven. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said, "yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise it will not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word. Amen. Please join me in prayer. We need your healing love today, O Lord. Create in us a new heart of compassion as Christ has called us to be witnesses of redemption rather than alienation. Hold us gently. Heal us. Enable us to truly be your disciples. O Christ, in the name of our Lord and Savior, we will pray the prayer that Jesus gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And I have our summer special by Jackie.
Mary and I got our messages mixed up, and I sang God is Watching Over You last week. This week, I'm doing a comedy routine. I've never did a comedy routine before. I probably never will again. So you're getting an exclusive. It all started in the springtime during Sunday school, and somebody told me why a relative of theirs had stopped going to a church. And then after church, somebody told me why they didn't go to a church anymore, and it was the exact same reason. And so as I drove home, I'm thinking, Lord, are you trying to tell me something? And then it got me thinking about Mary and Joseph, and then I went to choir practice that Thursday afternoon, and I was mentioning my thoughts to the choir members, and Catherine Phillips said, Jackie, you should tell that to the church. I said, no, you should. Well, she planted the seed. So here I am. I am a high Jewish priest. I'm living in Nazareth at the time that Mary and Joseph are getting married. This isn't a comedy routine in the style of Bob Newhart, which is a comedian that just passed away recently, so you can kind of go by the Bob Newhart thing. In the time of Mary and Joseph, marriages were arranged, and the process involved a two-step engagement slash marriage. The first step was a betrothal, where the couple agreed to marry, and they were considered married. And they signed, the husband would sign legal documents, so he was married to that person. So in the Bible, where we hear that Joseph has found out that Mary's going to have a baby, and he's going to secretly divorce her, or quietly divorce her, this is because he signed that paper. He's legally married to Mary. But it can be up to a year later before you have that other ceremony called the formal home-taking ceremony. It's called a neshuin, which is a Jewish term, and I'm not saying, no, I'm saying it right, but it's the neshuin, and that's when the bride moves in with the groom. So I'm a high Jewish priest. Mary and Joseph are coming to me. Well, hi, Mary and Joseph. Are you getting excited? In 2 months, you're going to have your neshuin. You want to have your neshuin this weekend? May I ask what the rush is? Mary's going to have a baby. Joseph, I am so disappointed in you. You've been taught, it's not your baby? Well, whose baby is it? It's God's baby. Joseph, we're all God's babies. All babies are God's babies. He created us all. Let me get this straight. An angel called Gabriel visited Mary and told her that she was going to have God's son. Is this okay with you? Oh, an angel visited you and told you the same thing. You know, Joseph, in temple, we preach that God's going to send a savior, and he's going to organize the Jewish people, and they are going to defeat these pain-in-the-rear Romans that rule over us, and this is going to be our land. But I really don't think a baby's going to do it. You're sticking by your story. Would you mind telling me what well here in Nazareth you and Mary get your water from? I'm just curious. Just a random question. Well, I'll have to run this by the other priests. They should get a real chuckle out of this one. And I don't see any problem for you having a neshuin this weekend. I'll be in touch. Bye. Bye. Well, we know the end of the story. We know that definitely Mary was carrying God's son, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins. And by God's grace, we are saved. But this priest didn't know the end of the story, so you can't blame him for being a somewhat leery. If you think about it, wouldn't you be a little leery too? I want to read Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Anything's possible with God. That's the end of my routine. Okay, I don't know how long my voice is going to hold out, so I'm going on the rogue. I am not reading the New Testament reading. It's a wonderful reading, and I ask you to go home and look it up and read it for yourself. But I'm going right into my message today. And for the last year and a half, our Sunday school has been studying the book of Acts. And these are the lessons from Acts. Acts was written by Luke, who was an investigator, Gentile, educated doctor, and a ministry partner to Paul. And when Acts starts, Jesus is ascending into heaven, and the Holy Spirit is coming down on the disciples. And they get out there and they start healing people and telling people about Jesus. And within a few weeks, they baptized 3,000 people. And then it goes up to 5,000 people. This is going gangbusters. But then the Jewish priests hear about this and they are not happy. So they haul Peter and John into court, the high Jewish court. But now what are we going to charge him with? Healing people is not a sin. And we've got a whole riot of people out there that are Jesus followers that are they're afraid they're going to riot, and then we'll get in trouble with those Roman rulers, which we don't want to do. Maybe we'll just tell them they can heal all the people they want to, but don't talk about this Jesus fellow. So they let him go. Guess what? Peter and John go right back out talking about Jesus again. So they arrested him, and they threw them in jail. But that night, an angel came and let them out. Okay, we got a problem here. What are we going to do with these guys? Let's kill them. But there was one sane person there that said, if this movement is blessed by God, it will flourish. And if it doesn't, it'll die in the vine. And guys, I think these guys are crazy. They're nuts. Let's just see what happens. So that's what they did. Well, in another part of the country, there was the Apostle Stephen. And he was also telling people about how Jesus died on the cross for our sins. But he wasn't so lucky. He got arrested, was found guilty by the Jewish council, and he was stoned to death. The first Christian martyr. One of those throwing the stones was a guy called the Saul of Tarsus. Saul was a Jew. He was also a Roman citizen, which was very unusual to be a Jew and a Roman citizen. All we can figure is that some relative in the past did something great for a Roman, and he said, I make you honorary citizens. Well, Saul's on his way to Damascus to persecute more of these Jesus people, which is they called the Way. And all of a sudden, as he's walking across the desert, there's this big flash of light. And he and all his companions fall to the ground, and a voice from heaven says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul said, who are you, Lord? And the voice said, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. And when Saul got up, he was completely blind. So his companions took him to Damascus, found him a place to stay. Well, while all this was going on in Damascus, there was a follower of Jesus named Ananias, and the Lord told Ananias, I want you to go and tell Saul about Jesus. And Ananias says, nope, not doing it. He kills people like me, not doing it. But by golly, he did. And when he told Saul, Saul instantly received Jesus into his heart, and wanted to be baptized, could see again, changed his name to Paul, and he went out and started preaching about God dying on the, or Jesus dying on the cross for our sins and being God's son. Well, while this was going on in another part of the country, Peter, the disciple Peter, got a message from the Lord saying, I don't want you to just preach to the Jews. I want you to preach to everyone. That's us. And in another part of the country, there was a King Herod Agrippa, and the disciple James was preaching in his area, and that made King Agrippa furious, and he ran a sword through James and killed him. And then the Christians started to scatter, thinking, gosh, it's kind of scary being a Christian. You can be killed. And then King Agrippa hunted down Peter, and he put him in jail. Had his arms and legs shackled to the wall with chains. And 120 of Peter's followers of Jesus, they went to a house, and they started praying unceasingly. Don't let King Agrippa run a sword through Peter. Please get him out of this situation. And in the night, An angel came, touched those chains, they fell off. The angel let him out of prison. He went to this house and they were shocked. Here's the guy that they were praying for. That's your first lesson, the power of prayer. Not all of your prayers are going to be answered, but there is power in prayer. Well, the apostle Barnabas happened to hear Paul, that formerly Saul, preaching, and he thought, you know, this guy's the real deal. He really has changed. So he took him back to the other disciples who were highly leery, and they thought, he is the real deal. So Paul and Barnabas, they went out on a missionary journey. They're stopping at all these ports along the Mediterranean Sea and walking inland, and they're telling everybody about Jesus being God's son and dying on the cross for our sins. Sometimes people were baptized and accepted it. Sometimes they were run out of town. In fact, one time they beat Paul up so badly that they left him for dead. But they continued on their way, and that's your lesson number two. You plant the seeds of faith and trust God to make them grow. Farmers around here, they plant their crop in the spring and they nurture it all summer and they hope for a harvest in the fall. But I remember one year in the early 1980s, crops looked great. September and October, we got 24 inches of rain. Nobody got a crop off that year. You can plant the seeds, you can nurture the seeds, but we have free will. Some people are going to receive God into their heart, and some people are going to turn their back. You do your job of planting and nurturing the seeds, and then you got to leave it in God's hands after that. Okay, then Paul and Barnabas went back to Jerusalem to talk to the disciples and telling them where they'd had real success and where, well, things didn't really go so well. And then they decided to go out on another missionary journey. But Barnabas wanted to bring John Mark, and for some reason, Paul just didn't like John Mark. So they decided that John Mark and Barnabas would go on one missionary journey, and Paul got Silas to go on another missionary journey with him. And this is lesson number three. Don't quit if there's a disagreement. If you have a disagreement in this church, try to compromise like they did. If it's really out of hand, go, there's lots of other churches around here. Don't turn your back on God because of a disagreement. Just keep on keeping on. So they go on the second journey, missionary journey, Paul and Silas, and they come to Athens. And there are statues to all sorts of gods. Gods to fertility, the god of the sun. But there's one statue that's to the unknown god. And Paul starts telling people, I know who that unknown God is. That's Jesus. Let me tell you about him. He didn't say anything about the other gods. He just spoke about Jesus. And that's lesson number four. Find common ground and don't criticize other people's beliefs. You don't have to shove God down people's throats. You can just, if they have difficulty saying, I'll pray for you. Or maybe if you're talking about something, say, oh, the preacher's message this Sunday was on that. In the Bible it says, just sprinkle it along and hope that they'll keep asking you more. And if they become a Christian, they're going to start reading the Bible. They're going to figure out their sins. You don't have to sit and point them out to them. That's not your job. Your job is to plant the seed and nurture it. Well, in all these two journeys, Paul would never have lasted as long as he did if people hadn't given him a place to stay, sleep, feed him, nurse him back to health, get him out of town when he was in danger, warn him if people were going to kill him. He needed friends. He couldn't do it with just God. And you got to remember to have friends for you, too. Friends that will cry with you when there's tragedies and celebrate with you when wonderful things are happening in your life. Don't do it alone. You need to have friends. Paul needed friends. Well, Paul's luck finally ran out, and when he got to Caesarea, he ran into Governor Festus. They arrested him and put him in jail. But of course, he was a Roman citizen, so this was a cozy jail. He was in a palace. He could have visitors come, bring him food. He could write letters. He could do anything he wanted. But Paul had had a dream from the Lord that he was going to go to Rome and tell Caesar about Jesus. And here he is stuck in Caesarea. 2 years. 2 years he was stuck there. And he's thinking, okay, Lord, what's the problem? I want to get out of here. And that's what happens to us sometimes. We pray and we pray and we pray and we pray. And you're thinking, my prayer's getting stuck someplace? Why aren't I getting any answers? But maybe God's saying, it isn't time yet. Or maybe he's saying, you don't know what you're asking. We don't know what God's thinking. But sometimes you have to be prepared to wait. And that's what Paul had to do until a new governor came along. And that governor said, get him out of here. Take him to Rome. So they put him on a boat. And this boat wasn't going a straight shot to Rome. It was stopping at all these ports along the way to let people off, bring people on, bring supplies on, take supplies off. It's late October. They get to this port, and Paul here has a dream. And in his dream, the Lord says, stay here. The boat's going to sink if you go out. So he goes up and tells the sea captain, and I'm sure the sea captain was saying, prisoner, sea captain, who knows more about the sea? I don't know this God he's talking about. I got business to attend to. I can't sit in this port all winter. So he said, no. And off they go into a 14-day storm. I can't imagine 14 days. That's a long storm. They've got the anchor down on the sea bottom, but they're still drifting. They're throwing stuff overboard. There's a panic. And then Paul has a dream from the Lord saying, just stay with the boat. The boat is going to break up and sink. But as long as you stay with the boat, you're safe. You get out of the boat, you're dead meat. Well, some of these sailors, when they saw some land, they started putting the lifeboats down. They're going to run for their lives. And Paul says, no, no, my God says you've got to stay in this boat. If you don't, you'll die. And they believed him, and they stayed on the boat. And eventually the boat did hit some rocks and sank, but they were able to get to the land, but it was a rich man's estate, and his dad was very sick. And Paul went and laid hands on his dad and prayed over him, and his dad was all better. And then word got out around the estate, and everybody's coming to hear about Jesus and be healed, and they stayed there for 3 months. The lesson is, be bold. Paul told that sea captain, and then he told those sailors. One time they believed, and one time they didn't. And I want to tell you about a be bold moment in my life. 25 or so years ago, I worked at a retirement home. We had a wonderful Christian lady named Bina. Take care of herself, could dress, feed herself, everything. But she would faint dead away. And so she had to be near people all the time. This is before all these gadgets we have today that we can push and everything. Well, Bina's brother was going to have a 50th wedding anniversary celebration in Saginaw, and Bina had been invited, and she was so excited about going and seeing her relatives. But 3 days before the event, she started getting a pain in her shoulder. And we debated whether to send her to the doctor. But my feeling was that if we sent her to the doctor, she would not be able to go to this. He would say, no party. And I, for some reason, I got the message in my soul that this party was important for Bina. So I said, why don't we wait till Monday after the party, and if she still has a pain, we'll send her to the doctor then. Well, we got her all dolled up for the party. on Saturday, her daughter picked her up at 2 and said, "We'll be back by 6 because Bina will be tired." Well, 6 and then 8 came and went when I got off my shift, no Bina. The next morning, I asked the night help. I said, "When did Bina get in?" Well, she got in at 9, and she said she was on cloud 9. She saw all these relatives she hadn't seen in years. She danced with an ex-boyfriend from high school. She was just over the clouds. And I thought, "Yay, Jackie, you made the right decision." But then when I got Bina up, something wasn't right. I just felt like something wasn't right. So I told the helper that was helping me that day, I said, "As soon as we get everybody up, dressed, and had their breakfast, take Bina over across the street to the hospital emergency," because I said, "Something's wrong. I can just feel it in my bones. Something's wrong." And I tried to call her daughter, but this was before cell phones. Sunday morning, her daughter's at church. So I left it on her answering machine that we did this. Well, the helper was back in an hour and said, well, her blood pressure was high, but they didn't see anything wrong with her. And her daughter came by at 1, and she said they're going to keep her overnight for observation. But it was late March, the first beautiful day of spring. I mean, 60 degrees, sunny out, one of those days you just want to get outside. And her daughter says, "I'm going to go home and take a walk in the woods." And every bone in my body screamed, "Go set with your mother." And she would have if I'd have told her to. But I chickened out and I didn't. And her daughter came at 6 o'clock that night and fell into my arms crying, saying, "My mother died of a massive heart attack this afternoon." And it was the last few hours I could spend on this earth with my mother, and I was walking in the woods. And it was like God saying, "I told you to be bold, and you aren't bold at all." So when God tells you something, say it or do it. Don't ignore it, because you'll regret it. Because I certainly did. That was quite a lesson for me. Well, Paul, when he got on that boat 3 months after they landed there, the natives were so happy they gave him all these gifts to take with them. Word had kind of passed through the grapevine in Rome. He got there, he had a welcoming committee. People wanted to hear about Jesus and gifts and everything. And for the next 2 years, he did get to speak to Caesar about Jesus, and he wrote the books of Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon. And that's where Acts ends. This is the beginning of the church. I have just skimmed over the surface of all the stuff that happens in Acts. And I hope I piqued your interest, and maybe you will go and read Acts. Thank you.
Very, very informative. My goodness, Jackie, that was excellent. Excellent, excellent. If our ushers can come forward, we'll do our offering at this time. Ushers. God, you have put your spirit within us and laid your mantle upon us. These are gifts we could never earn and can never repay. Yet we are filled with your love, joy, patience, and peace, and generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so we offer them all to you, grateful to pass them on to your people and to your world. Amen. Our closing hymn is Are Ye Able, on the screen or on page 530 in the book. And for our benediction, you have been healed and restored in Christ Jesus. Go in peace, proclaiming the good news of God's absolute, eternal love through ministries of peace and hope. Amen. In our closing, Have a blessed week.